This is the NFC meeting, open session. We expect only to be an open session this evening. We have quorum. Our Paul, would you read the take roll?
Okay. Please answer up when you hear your name. Paul DiRienzo.
Here.
Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Kamau Harris.
I'm here.
Christina Huggins. R. Paul Martin here. Stephen Meeks.
Here.
Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Susan Young.
Present.
Okay, that's 9, and that's a quorum.
Thank you very much, R. Paul. Moving into preliminary setup for the meeting, are there any requests for excused absences that anyone knows of?
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
One. We don't have an agenda, you need an agenda before you can, do anything. So we really should have an agenda, this stuff of,
all right,
second of all,
oh, I do apologize. Has anyone received it or have I made an error?
I can't hear you. What did you say?
Who's speaking?
R. Paul asking. Okay, first of all, I have a point of order that we need to pass an agenda before we do all this stuff. The second one will be that there are no excused absences here. But we can
go
with the first.
Thank you for reminding me about the the committee difference on that. Thank you. The agenda was sent out. I am asking if, in fact, no one got it, or...
I got it.
It was only sent, as I said, only about 55 minutes ago. Has everyone received the draft agenda?
Received.
Yes. Okay. I'll take that as everybody, but thank you all. And R. Paul... would you remind me of this argument that you and I keep having?
Well, the committee needs to pass its agenda, but you keep sending up agendas that have a whole bunch of stuff in them before the committee ever gets around to approving an agenda. So if we can just...
And you and I have had this difference. I am doing it the way that the PNB does the meeting. There are preliminaries, and the very first item after preliminaries is the agenda approval. But the setup lets us identify timekeepers before we actually start having items in which we need to discuss. So I want to identify timekeepers, and then we move into agenda approval.
However,
and again, I'm using the format from the PNB.
Well, maybe you should get the PNB to say we have to use that, because we really should have somebody voting to have an agenda like this. If the PNB wants to impose it, they can impose it. But the thing is, they haven't, and the committee needs to be able to vote on an agenda. So maybe we let it go this time, and hopefully next meeting... By the next meeting, the PNB will have some dictate for us, and we can live with that, which I think would be bad, but, you know, it's not as if the PNB
I agree to work on this before the next meeting, but if you will not ever answer my emails...
I have answered your emails in detail. In fact, I think the rest of the committee has seen me answer some of your things in detail. This, you know, I've sent it in writing here and there.
Orders
a number of times.
Thank you, Susan. All right.
There are no orders. There can't be any orders because there's no agenda. Okay, so before the next time, maybe we'll finally iron this out. And please don't say I don't engage with you over this. I have several times. So go ahead with whatever on earth is going on here. Except you're going to have to leave out excused absences.
I will leave out excused absences. That's already been, I've already been corrected on that. Identifying timekeepers. Do we have someone who will time agenda items?
Madam Chair, I will time agenda items. There are no times for people in committees.
I beg your pardon. Would you repeat that, Susan?
I will time for agenda items. There are no
but
times.
There are no. Yeah, we do not time people in committee. Thank you.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Four screens, one monitor. Thank you. So who will, come on, who will do the items?
So I offered to do the items, Madam Chair.
I beg your pardon, Susan. I'm juggling. I apologize. Thank you, Susan. All right, we're looking for a motion to approve the open portion of this meeting.
Madam Chair, may I respectfully request you to read the agenda in advance?
Absolutely.
Great.
We start after preliminaries with item number 6. Approval of the agenda, open portion of the meeting. I will say we expect only to have an open portion of the meeting. 7, we are going to look at approving 2 session meetings the open session meetings of May 28th and June 11th. Those were sent by ARPAL. 8. Questions on the PMB, if there are questions on the PMB approved motion to mute or remove disruptions. And then we also have a question of opening up the usefulness of Zoom over Maestro. 9, the executive director's open report and Q&A. The parts to that are open session ED report, 2nd part, reviewing the second quarter Pacifica consolidated financials. 3rd part, update on WBAI budget deficit closure and ongoing item. 4th part, the national office budget. Do we have 2024 to review? And subpart of that, a report on how it's going or what's needed for the National Finance Office 2025 budget. Item 10, the NFC timeline for completion of 2025 budget. That is all been sent out. There are now assignments for each station's members of this committee. 11, and I can read what those assignments are. The GM must be contacted and get a budget-ready date. The 2nd step, the local finance committee, if applicable, to be inquired of. Do they have a 2025 budget review and approval on an agenda? 3rd part, the LSC of your station. Does the station have a budget review and approval on the agenda? Item 11, items that we need to schedule into upcoming NFC agendas. The first is new, and that is the KPFC 2025 budget will be available for review and or corrections. Old business, older items on that list, National Office Budget 2024, and that is actually has been put on this agenda. And two items still remaining, checking that the revenue chart of accounts are all understood the same at all stations, and then a determination and approval process for station allotments to central services. That's been the big upcoming issue of reviewing central services. 12 is adjourned at the planned time of 10:15 Eastern. I hope that was understandable to those listening.
Madam Chair?
Yes,
Susan. May I make a motion to approve the agenda, and I understand no seconds are needed. I also have an amendment to offer. The motion I make is to amend item, I think it's 9.
Sure,
to add
I'm going there
services,
now.
Services payments by station.
Susan, Stephanie said that will be part of the second quarter consolidated financials review.
Okay,
I
great.
Agree
so
that
it's already included
earlier.
That.
Yes, ma'am. All right.
Our
so
call
maybe,
for Stack.
Susan has made the motion to approve the agenda. Our Paul, are you thinking there's a stack for that motion?
I want to speak
okay.
about the motion on the floor, which is to approve the agenda. I gather
right.
that the amendment that was made is withdrawn, right?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Okay. Regarding the agenda, a couple of things. One, number 6, strike the words approval for the open portion of the. Just approve agenda, okay? And that would work right there. And there was
my agenda, okay?
Just strike that. The other thing is you're talking in here about minutes, and it says number 7, approve open session minutes of May 28th and June 11th. We've already approved May 28th. We did that at the June 11th meeting. So the only minutes we have are June 11th, so I move to strike the part about approving May 28th or 9th minutes.
I am on my copy of the agenda, striking it out. So item 7 will read approve open session minutes of June 11th. Arpal, did you send those minutes yet?
The June 11th, I sent them 6 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago or some long time ago.
All right.
They were ready right. The first time we didn't have a meeting.
All right. Arpal, do you want to, could I ask you to take this agenda? Oh, wait a minute. No, I can't because we haven't approved the agenda yet. All right. So I have stricken on my copy of the agenda the corrections that Arpal has found to make. Are there is there anything else, Arpal?
Not right now, no.
All right, thank you. The motion is on the floor from Susan.
Well, okay, you should ask if there's any objection to the amendments I just made.
Oh. Are there any objections to the amendments that Arpal just made and that I accepted? So sorry, team. Everybody should have had a chance to do that. Any objections to the amendment changes, agenda changes? Hearing none, then we go to Susan's motion to approve this agenda. Are there any, as amended, are there any objections? Hearing no objection, the agenda is approved.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, this is Christina.
Yes, Christina.
Huggins, Yeah, I just wasn't sure. I think I might have missed the roll call. I was 2 minutes late or something. So I just want to let you know I'm here.
All right. Our Paul will
I got it.
You in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any changes that need to be made to the June 11th meetings, which I actually think were sent out twice, you know, thinking about it, NFC. Susan, is that you?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I move approval of the minutes of the June 11th meeting.
Thank you. Are there any objections, corrections to the June 11th meetings at this time? Hearing none, we are done. We are accepting that approval. Changes can be made, can be brought up at any time. We are on item 8. The PNB approved a motion on muting or removing disruptions from the meeting as given in the new Robert's Rules of Order edition, the special section on electronic meetings. Using those rules from Roberts, the PNB has passed that motion. And that was included with the agenda that was sent. No, that was sent to you today, I believe, if not last night, to describe the motion for all the treasurers, because all the directors on this committee were there for that motion, which passed. So I sent it to everyone. I wanted to make sure all the treasurers saw it. If there are any questions about that motion, this is a little slot for you to be able to ask about them.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing no inquiries, we will pass that.
As a lawyer, looked at these. Yeah, I have a question. Hello? Paul.
Who is speaking?
Paul. You don't have to yell at me. All right. Has a lawyer looked at this? I tried to read it. I found it incomprehensible and unenforceable. Maybe it could be enforced by whim of the person using it and then backed up by their majority. But as a legal document, I found it confusing, uninspired, and impossible to really truly enforce in a court of law. So I wanted to know if a lawyer has looked and approved this.
This is from Robert's Rules of Order in their sample, and that's what we have followed.
So the answer is no. So the answer is no. The answer is no.
Who was the second? Yes, Paul. The answer is no. To your
no.
Second. No lawyer saw this.
No,
that's on the record.
Paul, are we going to start again? Are we going to start again?
What have I done? I'm just asking a question. You asked for questions. Here's my question. What's your problem?
We're going to go to the next.
As a lawyer, looked at this document.
It's been answered.
Yes or no?
Canning.
But what would tell me the answer? What was it? I didn't hear it. I heard a bunch of people arguing.
Oh,
no, tell me, what's the answer? Yes or no? Yes or no? I'm just asking you, has a lawyer looked at it? Yes or no? No.
Madam Chair, we're having trouble. Madam Chair, point of personal
knowledge,
we're having trouble hearing. We're having trouble hearing you, Madam Chair.
Yes. Paul,
so the answer is no.
This is Christina for the stack. I'm asking again. Thank you.
Yes. go ahead, Christina. Susan, did I pass you by?
I'll be after Christina. It's fine.
This is not a legal question in the depth of, first of all, I completely understood the motion. I read it carefully. And we have a similar motion on our floor that was passed. That our parliamentarian ruled was completely in order and conformance with Robert's Rules of Order. So it's inappropriate to take it to a level of, is it legal or not? This is
is it legal or not? That's a simple answer. Simple question.
Please do not answer me.
So you refuse to answer the question.
Don't interrupt.
You refuse to answer the question.
I call the member to order. Okay.
Thank you. He has no right for the floor right now, and to argue is a violation of Robert's Rules of Order. So the motion is in complete conformance with Robert's Rules of Order. We have a registered parliamentarian I confer with consistently, and he said that this is a part of Robert's Rules of Order. There is no legal concern what we have here. And I also wanted to ask real quick, are we being streamed right now?
Didn't hear that. Right.
We are?
All right. Yes, we are.
Okay. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm done.
Yeah. Thank you. Susan.
Christina has answered. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Are there other questions? Other members who have a question? Thank you all. You can also, I'm happy to speak with anybody through the listserv for questions or answers needed. Number 9, the executive director, who is here. Is that correct, Stephanie?
Yes. Excuse me. Yes, that is correct.
All right. We're going to open the floor to you for quite a bit of time, 40 minutes on this item, on this set of items.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir, Paul.
Could we ask if there are any other people on the call who are not members of this committee, for instance, maybe directors?
Good question. Do we have other directors on the call? Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We have no other directors or visitors in the call. Thank you,
okay.
Paul.
So, Madam Chair, point of order.
Yes, Susan.
So I believe that there should be 10, if you count the stations, plus the ED, that makes 11. Who's the 12th?
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11.
Okay.
If I said
thank you.
I may have
misheard. Okay. No problem.
All right. Finally, Stephanie, you're up.
Okay, thank you. An ED report was sent to everyone to review. There is some information in the report that is not necessarily pertaining to...
Madam Chair, is there a way to increase the volume there? I can't quite hear.
Stephanie, if there's any way you can up your volume on your phone, I see a volume control here on Maestro. I do not know if it's actually the shared sound microphone. But go ahead, Stephanie. Try again.
Okay. I'll try to speak closer to my phone.
Madam Chair?
Yes, our
Madam
Paul.
Chair, could I ask, when was this report sent out?
The ED report? Again, unfortunately, within the last hour.
Oh, okay. I'll look for it. Thank you.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
There is information in the report for the National Finance Committee that may not necessarily pertain to finances for the organization, but I determined that it would be just of interest to the people that are on the call.
So included in the National Finance ED report, very similar to the ED report that was sent and used to the, with the PNB at last week's meeting. So there's a 2024 delegate election update. That was a report that was submitted by Renee Penaloza, our 2024 National Election Supervisor. And in that, it goes through the number of candidates by station type. And, you know, feel free to share this with the individuals back at your station. There is an update with the SJC and the SBA EIDL, which is the Small Business Administration Economic Injury Disaster Loan, is that we needed to resubmit some paperwork that had been submitted earlier in February. And I have been in frequent contact with individuals at the SBA to monitor the progress of updating the name on the loan to reflect the current, to reflect me as the current executive director versus the prior executive director. So all of that request had been sent in February, but there was just some issues with some letterhead that was used. And so the SBA let us know what those details were, and I was able to resubmit the paperwork on the correct letterhead, and we are now in the process of waiting for them to make that transition. And once they make that transition, then I'll be able to log into the portal and do what's necessary in order to help and submit a request to remove the lien that is on the Cahuenga, the Los Angeles building, so then we can move forward, continue with that escrow. We are also submitted an application to the SBA Hardship Accommodation Plan Program, which if approved, we will be able to put all the past due payments that we're in default at the end of the loan, and then the loan will no longer be in default, and then also it'll be much easier again for them to be able to remove that lien. So once the SBA removes their lien, then FJC will be able to remove the lien, and then we'll be able to move forward with the close of escrow in the Los Angeles building. So while we're waiting for that, the close of escrow has been extended to late August. The date is yet to be determined. I'm waiting for the paperwork to be sent to me from the brokers. But we're meeting with the buyers and the brokers and FJC and the lawyers and such every week. So we're keeping everybody updated with that. KPFK and the archives staff are doing a great job packing up their belongings, sorting through items to be donated, discarded, arranging for movers to come in, and all staff is going to be working out of the new location in Glendale, California on August 1st. One of the things that is also happening is that we are collaborating very closely with the IT staff at the American Archives of Public Broadcasting and the Library of Congress to provide a comprehensive list of all materials that are in the archives. And the AAPB, the American Archives of Public Broadcasting, was funded by the Mellon Foundation in order to provide funding to them for us for the archive digitization project. And the Mellon Foundation has agreed to provide two interns for us from the UCLA Library Science Division to assist in sorting the pieces and all the materials and cataloging everything that we have in the archives. So we're in the process of selecting the first 20,000 pieces of archive materials that will be selected for digitization, and the AAPB is paying for the shipping of those as we move it off to get digitized. The FCC consent decree, our first compliance report, was due June 22nd. It was, July 22nd. It's a typo in the report. It has been submitted on time to the FCC, and we are also current with the payments that need to be made. So we've made 3 of the 5 payments, and they were made prior to the due date. We're doing well with the trainings. We still have, we extended the trainings, FCC compliance trainings, through July in order to accommodate the number of employees that we have. The FCC realized that we have approximately 900-plus employees that need to be trained with FCC compliance, so we've extended, as I said, the training through the month of July. One of the things that was able to bring in income for the National Office and WBAI this past month was we had Civica Foundation National Programming that was covering the convention. We will also be covering the DNC convention as well. So that was a weekly broadcast that worked in partnership with our affiliates station WORT in Milwaukee. And we also were able to get coverage and interviews on Democracy Now!, and Amy Goodman was generous enough to promote this national convention coverage and also Pacifica in general. We had daily reports from the field, and we also had partnership, I'm sorry, not just with also WORT in Madison, Wisconsin, but also WXRW in Milwaukee. And then the state KPFK, KPFT, and WBAI all aired coverage of the convention, and KPFA was also in daily communication with the national production team, and they used clips and segments in their daily news coverage. We had quite a few national and local sponsorships for this coverage, and more funding is coming in for the DNC convention as we move forward with that. We had a little over about $85,000 in sponsorships that came in just for those programs. Does anybody have any questions on anything before I move into the consolidated financials?
Our Paul for Stack?
Yes, go ahead, our Paul.
Okay. I still don't have a copy of this written report. To whom was it sent?
I don't know what's going on. I keep checking messages. I'm clicking them time after time. The last two items I have sent are not showing up for me on the – there are no pending messages, okay. They're not showing up on our group email, and that is the executive director's report and a chart on central services. I do not know why not. I don't know how long. It seems way too long for the system to be waiting to post things. So I don't know how to explain it. So you are right.
Did somebody send it to me, and I'll try sending it to the mailing list?
Yes, it'll have to be me.
Can one of you do that, our call?
Okay. Two people talking. I can't hear.
This is Stephanie.
Stephanie said she would do it.
Okay, okay. When I get it, I'll forward it to everybody.
All right.
And Christina for Stack.
Thank you, Christina. I have you down. Stephanie, our Paul, did you have anything to ask of Stephanie besides the trying to get the items?
Looking fast here. So we have now until when to get all 900 people done with this FCC thing?
Right now we're working to get through the, and we won't get everybody done by the end of July, but the FCC is extremely happy and pleased with the progress that we've made so far. So we are in compliance with what we have done so far, but we will continue with the trainings until they're done. So we had to reach a certain percentage by a certain date. We did.
Oh, okay.
We needed to get documentation of a compliance manual sent out to everyone in a timely manner. And so rather than sending out the full manual, which was written by our compliance officer and also vetted by the attorney, rather than just giving that to people who had been trained, that was sent out to all the managers and directors, and that was distributed then to all employees. So, and that needed to be done by June 20th, and we had that done well before June 20th. We have so far with the first compliance report that we had to turn in, we are on track with everything that was necessary.
I'm sorry, I have to interject again. Is Otis available? I just received an email saying the stream is not on.
Madam Chair, I will call Otis. Madam Chair, this is Susan. Let me just, point of information. The report sent out by the executive director says confidential. I would suggest that she identify those things that need to be kept confidential, and I assume she has not reported on them in this meeting. And I will call Otis.
Thank you so much, Susan. There are...
This is Lyndon, point of order. The stream is working. The stream is working. I just checked it.
All right. Thank you for checking very much.
You're welcome.
So I will let the person who's telling us it's not on go on by. Stephanie, do you want to pick up again? It seems we are on the stream.
Actually, I was on the stack, Darlene.
You are right. You are right, Christina. Go ahead.
I just wanted to take a moment to say that I am incredibly grateful to Stephanie for Lyndon had said something about this before, for actually protecting the archives and finally getting them somewhere where they're going to be in a safe place to transfer. I was a union rep for 12 years before I was on the board, and I've been on the LSB for over 7 years, and everybody was decrying the whole time, that all those years, that there was nobody doing anything to protect the archives. So I just want to take a moment to note the gravity and the importance, and a personal thank you, and thank you from all of the people that have told me for years that this is critical. I mean, she got it done. So thank you so much, Stephanie, for getting this done in the archives. It really has a profound effect, and it's a great, great step forward for Pacifica. So I just didn't want to let it pass without thanking you. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's a very exciting project, actually.
Yeah. Susan, are you back in the meeting?
Yes, I am. Thank you for checking.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's see. Lyndon, you had you wanted to speak.
No, I just wanted to inform you that we were on the stream.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, Stephanie, you are back on.
I can move into the consolidated financials for the first quarter, if people would like that.
May I just ask, are Paul, have you received both of those reports that you're needed to forward?
Yes, and I've sent them out.
Thank you very much. Are people prepared to start discussion of the second quarter consolidated financials? Hearing no objections, Stephanie, I say go.
Okay. We're almost done, too, with the next quarter, the third quarter consolidated financials. So those will be ready, I'm sure, by the next meeting. Another thing that we're doing, too, is reconciling bank statements that are current to date. So we've just finished WPSW's KPFK and WPSW and KPFK and KPFT. So those we're sharing with the general managers and helpful as well, just so we can get a grasp on cash flow. If you take a look at the Pacifica consolidated financials for the second quarter, I'm just going to go over, everybody can look at the details with the spreadsheets. I'm not going to go over each line. But one of the things that I take a look at on a regular basis is where we were 2 years ago, where we were last year at the same time of these financials were pulled, which would be the end of the second quarter, and then where we were to date. So if you at the total consolidated financials for the whole organization, there 2 years ago at this time, we were running in a negative of $628,072. I'm just going to round it. So $628,000. A year ago, at the end of the second quarter, the entire organization was running in a deficit of $877,000. This year, this fiscal year, at the end of the second quarter, we were running in a positive of $133,490. So we're working extremely hard, all of the stations, to try to cut expenses, to increase their revenue, and do what we can to increase our listenership. I know underwriting has helped, sponsorships have helped, working on programming, and again, outreach to our listeners so we can increase that. So it all boils down to that. On the national office level, 2 years ago, running in a deficit of $97,000. Last year, running in a deficit of $368,000. And this year, the national office running in a deficit of $70,000. Still in a deficit, but obviously quite different from where it was last year at this time at 368. The affiliate network, they were running, we don't have the financials for them on the consolidated from 2 years ago because they were folded into, at that time, they were folded into the national office. So we were able, we pulled them out last year so they could have their own accounting, which makes sense and should have been that way anyway. So the financials are a little wonky when you look at it, but they, meaning that if you look at it from 2 years ago or last year, it was a positive of 3,994, but I know it was more than that. It's just that we, as I said, we didn't move them into their own accounting system. But at the end of the second quarter of this fiscal year, they are running in a positive of $32,740. Archives, we're struggling a bit with the archives. A lot of that is with the lack of central service payments that are being paid. And also just a business, you know, better business model and plan on sort of adjusting how we can work with the archives. And one of the things that's a positive with the FCC and the consent decree that we're in is that when we promote thank you gifts that are from our own archives and Pacifica materials, we can, if anybody's taken the FCC, you know, training, there's a lot of things that you can and cannot say regarding the thank you gifts. But we really don't have a lot of restrictions with the archives, and so it behooves us to be able to utilize those as premiums quite a bit. And I know KPFK uses those quite often. So there is a push to try to get new premiums from the or new thank you gifts from the archives and the production of those. And then now digitizing the archives will also, again, start generating revenue once we get everything in there. 2 years ago, they were running in a positive of $22,388. Last year, at the end of the second quarter, they were running in a positive $19,726. This year, they are running in a negative of $92,506. So obviously, we're taking a very close look, and I'm working with the director of the archives, and I have been over the past few months just to get a better grasp on their cash flow and their financials. We look at KPFA. 2 years ago, at the second quarter, they were running in a positive of $8,028. Last year, second quarter, they were a negative of $17,969. This year, at second quarter, the financials, they were running in a positive of $390,286. KPFK, who has been running in a negative for many, many years and has been having to deal with, you know, paying rent and moving costs and things like that, that the national office has been helping them with, and also just KPFK in general covering that. 2 years ago, they, at the end of the second quarter, they were running in a negative of $364,000. Last year, second quarter, they were running in a negative of $345,000. This fiscal year, second quarter, they're actually running in a positive of $126,000. WBAI, 2 years ago, second quarter, they were running in a negative of $194,000. Last year, second quarter, they were running a negative of $229,000. And this year, second quarter, they're running in a negative of $172,900. WPFW. We're also looking at their financials as well. 2 years ago, they were running a positive of $118,000. Last year at this time, they were running in a positive of $8,736. And this year, second quarter, running in a negative of $144,406. So we are also getting a better grasp on their financials. And getting a better understanding because we didn't have access to their bank accounts for quite some time, or at least quick access to their bank accounts. So now that everything has moved over to Bank of America, we've been working very closely with their treasurer and also the interim general manager and taking a close look at their expenses and their revenue, particularly which they too have a move coming up. So we're doing everything we can to try to do fundraising for their move and also to try to get the best possible rent that we can from any property owners. So they have a great relocation committee that's been working on that. APST 2 years ago was running in a deficit of $121,000. Last year, as the second quarter, they turned around with a positive of $52,000. And this year's second quarter, they're running in a positive of $64,000. So it's been pretty interesting just to take a look at the history of the consult of the financials just over the last couple of years. And it's very exciting for the stations as well to see that many of the stations that had been running in a deficit for a few years or even just last year have turned themselves around and are making that point to start working toward a positive. So kudos to the general managers and the program directors and the staff at the stations and the volunteers who are working quite diligently to get underwriting and sponsorships and increase listenership and really focusing on the programming to make sure that we increase those listeners. So everything is detailed in the financials. So if people have any questions, they can take a look at those and ask me now, or just go ahead and make some questions or ask some questions about it, and you can send it to myself and Marquisha, and we will answer them for you.
Questions
on the stack.
Linda's to the stack.
Whoa, please say your name because it's really crackly here on this line. So there was a woman first, and then Lyndon. Who was the woman?
It was Susan.
Susan, all right. Susan, Lyndon, anybody else want to get on the stack?
R. Paul.
Okay, at the moment, those are the names I'll take. I'll take others as one of these drops off. Go ahead, Susan.
Okay, Susan. Yeah, first of all, congratulations, Stephanie, for getting us into the black system-wide. Congratulations to the three stations that have managed to get into the black. Do I understand there are three that have achieved surpluses and two that continue to not achieve surpluses? Is that correct?
Correct.
Also, there's been a lot of questions about the revenue situation at WBAI, and I realize that we're not looking at the most recent quarterly, but what I see is that in 2022, WBAI revenues were $647,000 and some. In 2023, they were $560,000 and some. And this is for the, 6 months. And in 2024, they have been $460,000 through March. So this declining revenue pattern is well established and precedes the FCC consent decree. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, and one of the things I do as well is I take a look at the bank statements, the revenue, and the expenses on a regular basis, and it is on an incline as to income that's being generated at the station. So, yes, there was a decrease in the revenue when programming was changed just even prior to the FCC consent decree, but when we were in that process of working on that. So when programs were let go or programmers left, that we would have had to make some adjustments anyway with the FCC consent decree. There was a decrease because the fundraising model, which was in violation of the FCC, needed to be changed. So I know WBAI is working on planning, I believe, in August. They're going to be having a traditional, for lack of a better word, fundraising or fund drive that will last a couple of weeks. And so that will be able to get us on track with a fundraising model that is similar to the rest of the other stations in the network.
Let me just comment. Between 2022 and 2023, we lost $100,000 in revenue, or close. Between 2023 and 2024, we lost another $100,000 in revenue. So even though we had a fundraising strategy that there was a lot of commitment to, it was clearly producing less and less from year to year. Sorry, Darlene, for interrupting you.
No, I interrupted you, Susan. I'm sorry. Stephanie, did you have a comment on that? Is Susan correct? Okay. All right. Thank you, Susan. Lyndon, you're up.
Thank you, Chair. First thing I would like to point out, if you're looking at the consolidated tab on the revenues, that we, in November, we had a very large major donor income, and in March had another major donor income, and those were from the two West Coast stations. So without those two, we would be in a loss position of about $500,000. And I realize that in previous years, we have had, you know, some large donations. The second thing I'd like to ask about is the archives. I see that there are no central services being paid to the archives. Is this a conscious decision?
No, the stations, when they're not paying their central services, the central services should be going to both the national office and the archives. So if it's a conscious decision by the stations, I am unaware of that, but I don't.
Well, okay. So it's not by the national office, but it is a conscious decision by each station. Yeah. I was just asking if there was a program something going out from the national office saying don't pay the central services, the archives. That was my question.
No, whatsoever. No, none whatsoever.
Okay. So, In light of all of this, I don't understand why we still have the personnel costs that we do at the archives. So I'd just like to register that objection. And the last thing I'd want to point out is the collapse of income or collapse of listener support at WPFW. And ask if if anybody has a handle on that, if they know why that is, what's going on.
No, that's one of the things that we are taking a very close look at, because those numbers from February to March is just a significant drop. So we are doing the reconciliation of the bank statements and taking a closer look at cash flow for the third quarter. So we do have those numbers. They're just not in this consolidated financials because it's for the second quarter. So we'll
right. The March number is the March. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. The March number is. The March number is really, really bad, but it's still, they're, you know, barely 50% of what they were for the prior year and the 2 year ago, 6 month period.
Correct. And there's also not, income. There wasn't general ledger, or there wasn't money that was credited toward places where they had received income before, which is a major donation, the donation line, which doesn't make sense, but that should have been moved into the listener support, car donations. I know they had community events. So that was just kind of a banking concern and a logging concern from their division on how revenue was being put into the system. And again, we didn't have access to the as immediate access to the bank account as we do now. And we are looking, their finance committee was looking to do an external audit of their finances, which will be helpful as well. As I said, we're working on reconciling their bank statements and taking a close look on their finances.
Okay. I'd like to, point out on KPFT, we haven't raised, as much money as I don't think anybody else. We've, raised a mere $361,000. But the difference is we don't have, we don't have personnel costs of, $350,000, and we don't have, or salary, $253,000, personnel costs of $358,000, and we don't have consultants and temps at $86,000. For 6 months. I mean, that's a year's worth for us. And so I'm asking why people aren't living within their means.
Yes. I mean, and that's been a difficult to find individuals that are willing to work in a general manager or program director capacity for little to no pay. And making that transition to that has been difficult. And I know at KPFT, it's been helpful to get everything back on track, but we're looking as they move forward, they're working to put into their budget, at least starting to pay some of these positions or even just a halftime, in order to try to pull in personnel and talent to help with these stations. But it is a significant expense. That's what we're trying to get a grasp on with reducing consultants, working with not bringing in just a lot of interim individuals that may cause problems with the union, and trying to follow employment rules, turning, I know KPFA has been working on turning many part-time employees and turning them into, reducing the number of part-time and turning them into full-time, which in the long run is more stable as far as personnel and cost savings. So those are things that we are definitely looking at and working on.
Okay, thank you.
I have R. Paul on stack.
Okay. Before anything else, I am hoping that we are going to be able to release these consolidated financials after tonight's meeting. In fact, I'll ask if anybody thinks we shouldn't at this point in time. I think we absolutely need to.
We usually do, in fact, after Stephanie has done her open, gone over with the NFC. It is our holdup, in a way. When she's gone over those with the NFC, they are then sent out to the PMB first.
Yes, I'm hoping that we do this after this meeting. I just wanted to bring that up. Another thing is, okay, so we have the consolidated financials through March 31st. I think we kind of need them more recently and soon. Also, for WBAI, we are not getting much information at all. I mean, you know, the consolidated financials, that's a good thing to have. We need to know the actuals. We need to know what the aged payables are. We need to know, you know, are there any expenses that are really emergencies at the moment, and what are they and how big are they and stuff like that. And we're not getting that. And I am hoping that Pacifica management will be able to help us out with that information. I mean, we've gotten an email saying, okay, we want everybody to get all of your budgets together by a certain time. Well, if we don't have information, WBAI can't make a budget. And so I am hoping that something's going to happen to give us, those of us at BAI, the information we need, because we don't have numbers. We don't have a handle on a lot of stuff here. And let me make that the question at this point in time. At WBAI, are we going to get more detailed information on the station per se, like, you know, aged payables, et cetera?
Yes, all of the banking statements and the monthly statements were sent out to everyone at the National Finance Committee a while ago when we were trying to reconcile invoices and receipts to the actual bank statements. So those were sent quite a long time ago when we were working on the budget for WBAI, but we are now taking a very close look again and continue to the bank statements, and then monitoring what's being paid, what needs to be paid, and then working accordingly. So, yes.
Madam Chair?
But that stuff was sent out a long time ago.
Susan, was that Susan?
Please. Yeah, I'm noting time limit. We're at 40 minutes. Shall I make a motion to extend for?
Yes, we certainly do need that.
So I'll make a motion to extend for 10, because I know we also need to deal with central services in addition to the quarterly financials. So motion to extend for 10.
Any objections to extending for 10? No objections. Thank you, Susan. Go back to Stephanie on our poll questions.
Yes, WBAI Finance Committee will be getting the information that they need with the bank statements. I'm happy, as I have with other stations, to sit down and work on the budget via Zoom, sharing screens, and we've reconciled bank statements with the receipts and things that need to be paid. We're trying to get a better grasp on a lot of the aged payables that were at WBAI. And we are making significant progress in paying some of those off.
Stephanie, I don't have anybody else on the stack, so I'm going to speak up. Don't you give most, if not all, of the financial information that RPAL is looking for in the PNB meetings? I know we look at our aged payables and such as that. Aren't those figures already given out to the PMB director?
Yes.
Okay, so we don't maybe have a loop closed where the PNB directors make sure all of their financial people get the information that RPAL is looking for.
Madam Chair, may I say that it hasn't worked that way before. We sometimes get some information sooner from a director, but the thing is, the NFC is supposed to get the information, you know, pretty much right away, sometimes before the PNB. So saying now we have this brand new protocol of, if it's said at the PNB, we somehow get it at the local level?
No.
One, that's not happened in the past, and two, I don't think that works.
I didn't talk about anything about a new protocol or protocol at all. I
pass on my information as a PNB director to others in my station, and it never occurred to me that directors don't take on that responsibility. So what I'm saying is, I think I see where there is a break in the loop from, just assuming. So I wanted to say that Stephanie does give that, but it's going to the PNB and not getting to everyone else who could find that useful. So Stephanie, I'm
back
to you to put that on your plate.
The bank statements are available to the general managers. As soon as any general manager, they consolidated over to Bank of America, each general manager and membership director, or if they had a business manager, has access to pulling those monthly statements and reports from the bank. So a lot of that information was in the hands of the general manager, the program director, membership, whoever is the one that's selected to deal with that. At most of the stations, there's one or two people that have admin access to the bank where they can make deposits on their phone, they can pull the statements, they can, you know, so all of that information is readily available, which then could be or should have been given to the finance committees when they were requested or asked. So I will make sure that the finance committee at WBAI receives those reports, which the general manager has that access to.
Okay. First of all, let me say a model where the information goes to directors and then they pass it on to other people, that's not so good. The directors aren't necessarily paying a ton of attention to the finances at all times. So I think the treasurers need to get that information directly from Pacifica Management, because, you know, making it so that there's the possibility of somebody not passing it on is a very bad idea. Furthermore, we have had problems with the general manager at BAI saying that he wasn't getting information at times, and that information was difficult to get because of the move to Bank of America, and, you know, there was all sorts of stuff going on there. So we've not been getting reports. The current person who's been installed hasn't sent us anything of that nature. We got a report from him that was his plans, basically, but we are not getting concrete information that the local finance committee can look at and say, oh, this is what's happening. So could I suggest that Pacifica Management send that information to the station treasurers, all of us? Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, that's not at all. As I said, the general managers have access to logging into Bank of America. There are some general managers who seem to have difficulty logging in, either forgetting passwords, forgetting security questions, and then they need to request through Bank of America to get a new password reset. And that can come through either Markeisha or myself or the Bank of America representative. So there are some general managers that happens almost every other week that was happening. They couldn't remember questions. So there hasn't been a lack of providing information from the national office, but at a local level, individuals at the stations at a moment's notice can pull up a report to the date of every deposit, every expense that's going through their bank account.
Does that include the person who's currently at BAI now?
I object. I would like to call the member to order. You have not been recognized.
by the chair.
I have asked a follow-up question.
Asked to be recognized. I asked to be, you were not recognized at the beginning, Madam Chair. I asked to be recognized.
Of course I was.
Paul
for Stack.
It thickens. It thickens.
The
plot
thickens. The interim general manager now at WBAI does have access to pulling reports through the bank. So there's just been a lot of things to get a grasp on. And I can easily tell them to go ahead and pull those reports and send them off. The same thing as the WPSW when we had a change over there. It just takes a little bit of time to get a grasp on everything that's happening at a station when a new person steps in. So just giving the general manager a little bit of grace, have him get a grasp on things and get certain things in place. But I'm happy to send you the bank statement.
Madam Chair, Susan?
Yes, Susan.
Okay, a couple things. First, I would hope that Stephanie, the IGM, and the Finance Committee or the Treasurer could confer about how the budget process can move forward and providing the information. I'd like to also make a point of clarity. We, at the PMB, we receive a report from the ED every meeting. The information in it includes in the confidential report includes aged payable. They are not broken out by station. I think what our Paul is asking for are the bank accounts and the station by station information. So I think rather than coming through the PNB as a report to the PNB, it is directly between the national office, the IGM, and the treasurer. And
and most of these reports also with the financials and the aged payables and the national office, we deal with the general managers, business managers, membership, whoever is the person that is handling the finances and the invoicing. And historically, they're the ones that provide that information and their reports to their local finance committee.
And Madam Chair, I'd like to note we're at time.
Okay, we are at, hold on. I beg your pardon. And we are at Stephanie's report, and we are at, still at the second quarter consolidated finances. Stephanie, if we have to move on from this item now to get to other items, of the last two items on that agenda, is there something that you feel cannot wait?
Madam Chair, Susan.
Go ahead, Susan.
I request that we address central services. She has provided us that information, and I request an additional 10 minutes to address central services.
Is there an objection to an additional 10 minutes to financial item?
Question? Okay, so this would be an additional 10 minutes to item 9?
Yep. Yes. And I apologize.
I heard a yes and a no.
That was a
yes.
Okay, so this is for item 9, 10 minutes, item 9. Thank you.
I had originally allocated 60 minutes to this item, and then I got, giddy, and said, oh, no, we could do it in 40. So my apologies to the whole group. Stephanie, we are adding 10 minutes. Susan, Do you want to open the questioning on the central services? And for everyone, I thank our Paul. You have finally gotten in your email Stephanie's chart on central services.
What's the question here?
No, she said that you had received sent out the central services.
Okay, I see there's suddenly a whole bunch of more stuff than what I said. Okay, I'm going to start forwarding stuff here, and it's okay. I sent out what Susan Young had forwarded to me, and that was the executive director's stuff
report,
and I can see more of it, and I'm just going to send it out. I'm not even looking at what it is. We'll just send it out right now. Thank you.
I think several people decided to be helpful at the same moment, and we've all sent it out, what Stephanie had sent. So that's where we are. But you've received I'm calling it the chart on central services. And I still ask.
I'm looking for a chart.
Can you lead off on with the questions on central services?
Yes, I'm happy to.
Ask Stephanie to give that report before the questions answered. How do we want to move?
Madam Chair, what does Stephanie suggest?
The chart is pretty self-explanatory. It just lists the central service amounts that are due, the amount that has been paid, and the amount for people that aren't paying their complete central services. We've asked the stations to pay amount to help offset payroll costs. So that's listed. So we have each station, what's been paid this fiscal year to date. Columns are the central services amount that are due. Next column is the amount that has been paid of the extra payroll amount, any sort of central service payments that are paid, and then the total amount that is owed for fiscal year 24. So date. APFA,
I guess Mike
has paid. I mean, it's a pretty self-explanatory chart.
Yeah.
You can read through it.
Linden for the stack.
Go ahead, Linden.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Stephanie. I will point out here that this is National Office Central Services, and there is no PRA Central Services on this chart, which kind of dovetails with my question earlier. So on the paid via extra PR amount, that exact is that to pay, make sure that the national office gets salary gets paid, or is that to pay salaries at other stations?
That's to offset the national office. That's to offset and assist with the archives. That's also to offset the prepayment of insurance benefits that need to be done a month in advance.
The insurance payments of
benefits for all of the for many of the stations across the board, and this is deducted.
Okay, so you're having to
counted toward their central services, and then the stations
right.
when they make their payroll. I mean, when they make their health benefits, that puts the money back in the account.
So
kind of
to clarify, some of the money pays for the health benefits of employees across the network, and the rest of the money is going to pay the national office salaries and the salaries of PRA. Is that, and that's what's in column C?
and any other stations that might have a shortfall in their payroll.
In their payroll, okay.
Yeah, but so far people have done, I mean, people are making their payroll, and we do have a little bit of a bumper amount in the payroll account just in case there is a shortfall.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Come out of the stack.
Go ahead, Kamal.
I have a general question, if I could, about kind of like all these numbers, really. Are members of this committee able to receive a general ledger detail of our station, the expense accounts? Is that possible to receive?
Yes, as far as, I mean, that would be the general ledger, meaning the more detail that's in the consolidated financials with your station.
Right. I would assume that to produce the financials, we're not, we're using a particular system that would have the general ledger detail in it. And if I needed to see, for example, we talked earlier about consultants, what actual transactions make up that consultant cost in the general ledger? There'd be some record of that, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
just wanted to make sure members were allowed to receive.
Yeah. That would be, I mean, even before we get those numbers sent to us at the national office, those are at the local level.
No, I know that, but what I'm trying to avoid is because every time I come to this meeting, there's always this kind of circular, she has it, you have it, he has it, they have it. I'm trying to figure out, there's a book or some sort of record keeping that we have for the entire organization that would be able to be boiled down to, okay, here's WPFW's general ledger activity that at some point would be audited. Is that information available? Could you run a detail? So, for example, could you give me the last three fiscal year general ledger entries for consultants? Not necessarily me sifting through the paperwork back at the station, but what it was that we recorded in the general ledger.
Oh, yes. And that's just a detailed breakdown, particularly for going back. Those are detailed breakdowns, which then turn into the consolidated financials. And then the reconciliation of the bank statements every month gives you details as to all the income and all the expenses. And those, as we reconcile each of those bank statements, there needs to be a receipt or an invoice that matches that expense. So we do have those details.
Okay. All right. Linda, thank you for that. But I just wanted to make sure, because I don't necessarily need the bank rec, although that's very important. But ultimately, there's going to be a book of records, the general ledger, that we have that if Markeisha or someone says, hey, run the detail for this account for this period of time, there would be entries that she's put in there or someone's put in there that would show us this is how we get to $86,000, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Madam Chair, we're at 60 minutes.
I'm going to let myself in here for a second. Stephanie, is there a way or an email address or something that anyone responsible for finances in the system, in the whole foundation, could send a query or a request and that wouldn't get perhaps missed in the other mass of incoming email in the national office?
Well, people can just contact Markeisha directly, mvenzant@pacifica.org.
All right. I just want when people have a request and they're not getting it any other way,
you know, like who is the authority on record of what's going on financially with the foundation. That's all. So Markeisha's email will do the trick.
Yeah.
Thank you. Susan, I jumped in ahead of you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that we're at time. So okay. I think that marks are going to the next agenda item.
Well, here's the thing. Are the questions about central services answered? Or did we do all of this to not have some people's most pressing questions not gotten to? Or is everyone at a position, at a place where you're ready to have the meeting go on to the next agenda item? Do I have anyone who is objecting to that going on to the next agenda item? Thank you very much. I hear nobody bringing that up, and so it will be the next agenda item, which Darlene has just lost on all these darn screens. Draft agenda. Hold on, that's where it was for me. After Stephanie's long report and answering everything we could come up with. Thank you. Number 10, the NFC timeline for getting the 2025 budget in on time. After sending that timeline, wordy as it is, sending that timeline to every GM, business manager, if the station has one, a finance committee of the LSB, if the station has one, and the LSB for every station, all of those people have been sent. That's over 100 people have gotten this. But as Kamal points out so insightfully, just because it's supposed to work a certain way doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's going to catch on and it's going to be brought to their attention. So what we have here under assignments, number 10, assignments, each director, each treasurer is a team. You are a team, and you have to get to all of these people to get expected dates, ready dates, and you have to get on an agenda for an upcoming meeting. And they have to be able to work together. In other words, if the GM says, I can't get it to you before the 1st of August, then you don't jump in on the local finance committee and say, I want to be on the January 30th agenda, because it just won't work. So assuming that people can do this organizing, we need each team from each station to get those concrete steps done and just send to the NFC list what you're getting done. So we have a running result. Is there anybody who feels they cannot do these assignments of working with your own station's representatives and general manager? I love not hearing anybody speak to that.
This is Myla. I have a question for Stephanie.
Of Stephanie? Okay.
Regarding the timeline, yeah. Stephanie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. Okay. As you know, and I might remind other members of the National Finance Committee. Stephanie helped us, along with Michael Novick, put together a draft fiscal year 2025 budget that was reviewed by our KPFK local station board a couple of months ago. And we, the KPFK local station board, will not be meeting again until September, the second Sunday in September. And I am wondering, Stephanie, whether you would be available to help us if there are any tweaks that are required in the budget at that time. Or it's my understanding that we did pass we did approve of the draft budget that has already been presented. And if it will be necessary for us to take another look at it in early September, or whether we're just on track as we are. Did that make any sense? I'm sorry, I kind of muddled the question.
No, I think that I know there are some tweaks that need to be made to it based upon rent and some of the expenses that need to be moved over to the archive. And so I did talk with Michael about that. But yeah, I'm 100% open and eager and willing to help any of the stations. I mean, because we can whip these puppies out really within just a couple of hours on a Zoom sharing screens, and, you know, we work through it pretty quickly.
So we'll put you on. So we'll put,
like making budgets. So, you know.
So we'll put you on the agenda for our second Sunday LSB meeting in September. Is that?
Yeah.
A good plan. Okay.
Fine.
Great. Thank you.
And that will be your LSB vote meeting, Myla?
Well, I'm sort of we've already voted to approve the draft as presented so far. So do we need an additional vote? I'm not clear. We can certainly vote again if there are any changes that need to be made to our the draft that has already been approved.
Well, the NSC just needs the approved budget so to take it up and get it to the PMB.
So, Stephanie, would you characterize what we did a couple of months ago as already having approved the budget?
I think there are changes, though, that need to be made to it, just some very subtle changes that need to be made. And I don't know if that's something, I mean, we can talk about it offline, but I think that those are approvals that could be done via email and have people make comments on it, rather than having to schedule entire meetings to make sure we meet the deadline for when we need to submit the budget to the NSC.
Okay, we'll deal with that. But Darlene, you're saying that you need an additional vote from our LSB?
Saying that I need it. Your LSB has to be clear that when that item comes up with Stephanie, where are they leaving it? What is the agreement in the LSB? Is the budget approved by the LSB and moving up to the NSC?
Right, and we have already approved the budget.
Then you would be able, as soon as you've made, as the corrections have been made, with Stephanie and shown to your LSB, you'd be on your way.
Okay, so we'll be meeting on September 8th. Will that work in the timeline that you're proposing, Darlene?
Well, it's our timeline for the NFC, and we have September 9th and September 23rd. To meet for budget approvals. For those stations that couldn't get it in any earlier, of which we have the example of KPFT. So,
Darlene, September 9th is a Monday. Are you looking at the same calendar I'm looking at?
Perhaps not. We have our meetings on the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month.
Right. So that would be September 10th.
And, 10th and 24th. Thank
okay.
you. I said calendar wrong.
Okay. Thank you.
Our Paul Verstack.
Was someone ahead of our Paul? I'm sorry, our Paul. I don't have anybody ahead of you, but I heard a lot of voices. Is anyone expecting themselves to already have been on stack? All right, then, our Paul. My, calling on our Paul. Go ahead.
Okay. I think we should get our nomenclature down decently and say what the LSBs are approving are draft FY25 budgets, because otherwise, if we don't put the word draft in there, at some point there will be confusion in the future, and we can avoid that by just leaving the word draft in until the PNB approves it, at which point it is the budget.
Yeah.
The other thing is about this idea of teams. Geez, I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, we have not had at BAI, we have not necessarily had directors always coming into the local finance committee. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, you know, lots, the directors are constantly there. Not always, though. So I think that without, saying, oh, you're a team or something like that, we should just acknowledge that the stuff is going to get done and we're going to get the information, and there will be a local finance committee reporting to the LSB, which then comes to the NFC, which is the way it's always been done, without, the frou-frou of saying there's some sort of structure I've never heard of before. Thank you.
All right. I can answer that since I wrote all this down. I said teams. Hoping that one, between the two of you, meaning each station, that this will get done. Somebody has to ask the GM, where do things stand? When do you think it'll be ready? B, somebody has to make sure that the local finance committee has that review and approval, we hope, on their agenda. It has to be on the agenda to get done. And then the LSB, in the meeting after the finance committee gets it off their agenda, the LSB in full has to have it on the agenda. It isn't that we have the ability to wait until everything, and then we say, oh, it's not on the agenda. Let's put it on the next agenda. No! We need to get it on the agendas and not have it wander off, and then we have to drag it back in on a leash to get it on the agenda.
Okay.
So,
I have to say, I think that having it somehow divided like that is not so good. My thought is to just do it the way it's been done. The treasurer and the local finance committee hack away at it with the general manager if available, and then bring it to the LSB, and then whatever the hell comes out of the LSB goes to the NFC. It's sort of worked for years, so I think we should people should do as they think would work. That's all.
All right. Let me just say I was trying very much to make sure everybody understood I was treating them as competent adults. However you want to change or use up the language of who's doing what they're called, it's fine. It's fine. It just has to be done. And please report back just with an email to the NFC when each step is getting done. So we're not left in October with a station that said we were never told. So there you go. That's what I'm doing. You have two people. If our Paul, you're saying it's always been the treasurer, I'm fine with it. I'll bet the director is fine with it too.
but make sure the two of you know who's doing what. That's all this assignment is about, is to just get these steps concretely underway. Thank you for the question, R. Paul. Is there anybody else who wants to be on stack for this item? Thank you all. Again, I'll say it at this point, though it could have come up at any time. I usually list my phone number on my messages to the NFC, and of course, you would also have my off NFC list email address, and I am open and willing, and would you please contact me if there are issues or questions on anything. This is just one example. We are now moving on, as there are no other questions on the on that item number 10. 11, this is reviewing again what's coming up for the NFC and what can we do to get everything happening and not lost in the magical realm of repeating agendas or aging agendas, let me say. Okay, so number one is the announcement, the happy announcement from KPFT that their budget process is done, except for maybe a tweak, and they will be putting on the agenda for the next meeting the review for approval of their 2025 budget. Thank you, KPFT. B, the National Office's budget, that means Stephanie's and Markeisha's office's budget. We did not get to that in item number 9, was down at the bottom of the list for item number 9. Stephanie, are you still here?
Yes. Yeah.
Is it a ridiculous fancy to try to look at a 2024 budget for the National Office at this point in time?
Well, I mean, we're close to the end of the year, that's for sure. So it would be silly to kind of spend a lot of time trying to approve something that we're already more than halfway through. I mean, the National Office budget, I believe, was submitted to everyone that included 2025. Let me look at the date.
Madam Chair, Susan.
A lot of it was holding on to what would actually be the formula for central services.
Madam Chair, Susan.
Yes, Susan. Stephanie, that's item D on this list of item 11. Susan, go ahead.
Yeah, what I suggest is that we not pay attention to a 2024 budget for the National Office. Rather, we look at the financial results and that we pay attention to a 2025 budget, because it's really a question of central services formulas and making sure that payments occur. So I would like for us to give attention, for instance, to Lyndon's point about we're seeing National Office, but we're not seeing PRA.
Right. Okay. I am then taking section B or item B off of the items need to schedule for upcoming NFC agendas. If everyone can agree, it is in practicality moot. For anybody who objects to
stop chasing the 2024 budget for the national office. Not hearing any objection, that is what we will do. That item is now moot, and we are focusing on questions of the national office on their 2025 budget, just as we would any of the other units. I'm going to jump down to item D, determining and approving the process for station allotments to central services. This is, I hear, starting to come up as really intensely important for some stations, and I will flesh that out with Stephanie and put that on the upcoming agenda. That will be a priority agenda item for next meeting, right after the KPFT budget approval process. And then I'll back up to, go ahead, Artal.
Very fast. We have had people saying in the past, we need to have a new central services formula. We don't have a brand new one. We have one that's now, I don't know, a year or two old. So is that in, or are we going to once again try to do a new central services formula? Plus, in order to allocate central services, we're going to need to know what the national office needs, so that we don't, you know, say, well, here's what everybody puts in for central services. And then 6 months into this fiscal year, we discover, oops, that's way too low. So we, you know, it's kind of a thing of, we need to do two things simultaneously. We need to figure out what the central services fees will be for stations, and we need to know the national office and PRA need for FY25 in order to inform the central services formula. So I'm not saying we're going to do it right now. I'm just pointing out that this is something that needs to happen in a certain way. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, R. Paul. I can answer that. There's like 3 points. Let me do it as quickly as I know how. One, the central services formula seems to have never been quite nailed down all the way out to, what each station is paying for central services and why. So we need a review. We need a determination of what the heck all that is. You have been here a long time. It may be clear as ice to you, but not to the other directors I'm asking, and probably not to other treasurers. We need that. And it's true, if we try to determine what the national office needs before the national office gets to see all of the approved budgets and what they're expecting to pay to central services, the national office would be kind of just trying to walk around blindfolded with one stick to try to figure out what's going on. I agree with you. It should probably... it makes the most sense. It should probably be. It's one of the reasons why the National Office Budget Review was the last unit to go. And it's because they need to see the approved budgets for each station. So as I said, I will try to flesh things out with Stephanie. If you would be available to answer any questions that we, especially of the procedural or historic nature, I hope you would do that with or for Stephanie, so that we can, as all 10 of us before our seat turnover in February, we could actually do this for the foundation. So thank you, R. Paul, for bringing it up. But we'll try to present as much as we can of this question at the next meeting.
And Myla, oh, sorry.
Okay. So, Arpal, that's my answer to the items you're bringing up. Stephanie, I just committed you to yet one more National Finance Committee thingamajig, and I hope for both of you that will fly. Myla, you're up.
Thank you. I would like to request, I think that this is something that really does need to be reviewed. I would like to request that we are supplied with all materials that we'll be using to discuss this item at least 24 hours in advance of the meeting at which we are going to have it on the agenda. It's really something that can't be done on the fly. We're scrambling to look at things during meetings or getting something just right before the meeting. So if we're going to be really taking a serious look at this, I really want to have the time to look at it very carefully prior to the meeting. Thank you.
Stephanie, if you will hold me to it, I will get those items out as soon as they are available to send out. I ask for your help in accountability, in my accountability.
Will do.
Thank you. Anyone else on the stack for this last section on bringing items up to the top of the agenda for the next meeting? I hear no objections or further questions. That said, we have the opportunity to adjourn before 10:30. I am making the motion that we adjourn now. Do I have a second?
Madam Chair, the agenda says adjourn by 10:15. It is now 10:22, so you don't need a motion.
I know. I said plan time. I did not say time certain. I knew better than that. So are folks willing to adjourn?
Yes.
Hearing, having a second and hearing no objection. I'm not hearing any, right? Hearing no objection, This meeting is adjourned. Thank you for putting up with everything you had to put up with. Thank you all. It is adjourned.
Night.
Good night all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.